Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends, and welcome to the Chosen People. This is your host, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and I have a wonderful co-host, Bobby Walter. Bobby leads the work of Chosen People in the New York region. Shalom, Bobby.
Shalom, Mitch, and shalom to all of our listeners. As always, we are so grateful that you're tuning in with us wherever you are today.
Absolutely. And we've been talking about Romans 9 through 11 and doing it Jewish style, right to left. So we started with the end of Romans 11, and we're working our way back. And today we are in chapter 10. And we were talking last week about how to make Jewish people jealous, particularly how Gentiles can make Jewish people jealous of the Jewish Messiah who lives in their hearts. And I know that that's a great ministry. And I'd say most Jewish people in America come to faith in Jesus through Gentile believers. And you might have Jewish friends or Jewish relatives, Jewish workmates or classmates, and maybe you're looking for some guidance on how to reach Jewish people with the gospel. And so we thought that today we would kind of hit it head on and just take a few moments and talk about some tips on how to share the gospel with Jewish people. And let me begin by reading in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. If you have a Bible, grab it, because it's best to look at it yourself. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." And so the apostle to the Gentiles, the Jewish apostle to the Gentiles, was deeply concerned about Israel finding salvation through Jesus the Messiah. And then he argues in verse 2 and says, "I testify about them," the Jewish people, "they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." A little bit of Greek, the word knowledge is epinosis, not just gnosis, which means knowledge, but epinosis. Epi is the prefix which means all or full. And so in accordance with full knowledge. And so if a Jewish person was really religious but had full knowledge of what God wanted them to believe, then they would believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so there are many religious Jewish people, many searching Jewish people who have an interest in God, sometimes a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. It's very interesting. We did a survey of both Israeli Jewish people, of course, and, well, there were some non-Jews, actually, even in the Israeli survey. And we did a survey of American Jews. And we did this right before October 7th, a few months before. And what we discovered in asking the question, "Do you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" It's a very simple question. In other words, there are a lot of Jewish people that don't believe in God, or they're into Eastern religions and this and that. But we said, "How many of you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" That number was about 41% of the Jewish people in the United States. So that's low, but, you know, not bad, 41%. But when we did the same question, used the same question in Hebrew, in Israel, that number was 68%, 68%, almost 70%. And so many, many Israelis do believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the more traditional God of the Jewish people. And so just when we thought that everybody's turning secular and there's no interest in God, we find out there is a spiritual hunger among Jewish people. There is a belief in God. They just don't know how to fill in the dots. For many Israelis, it's, do I become ultra-Orthodox or do I become mostly secular? The choices are more distinct for Israelis. And so we're going to give you some tips now on maybe on how to reach your Jewish friends, and we hope it'll be helpful. Let's start with just mentioning John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me." And so I just want to make it crystal clear that Chosen People Ministries, and Bobby and I personally believe with all our hearts that the Bible teaches that the only way to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is through his son, Jesus, the Messiah, who died for our sins and rose from the grave, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and one day, we hope soon, will return to establish his kingdom. And so we believe that with all our heart. Also, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that should motivate us to reach Jewish people with the gospel. It's not only that no matter what, Jewish people can have a zeal for God, but they can't really know God intimately and personally and have their sins forgiven outside of putting their trust in Jesus. And as believers, and I think through local churches, which I think sometimes this truth gets lost, we should bring the gospel to the Jew first. That doesn't mean that we have to witness or lead every Jewish person in our city or our town to the Lord, of course. The Greek word protos means priority. So in some ways, Jewish people need to become a heart priority. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So the kingdom of God should always be our priority. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything else. We look for a lot of things, a car, a house, a husband, a wife, you know, a lot of things, a job. But the kingdom of God, in the midst of all these other searches, is our main goal to find. And so we have to understand that Jewish evangelism is an imperative for us as believers in Jesus. And again, in Romans 11:11, Paul writes, they didn't stumble so as to fall, may it never be, but by their transgression, the national rejection of Jesus by Jewish leaders at his first coming, but by this transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles in order to, because it's a purpose clause in the Greek, to make them jealous. So God has saved you, my dear friend, and part of your mandate is to make Jewish people jealous. You might say, well, I don't really know that many Jewish people. Well, start praying, you know. Lord, give me a few Jewish friends. And if, of course, many of you do have Jewish friends, and we have to cross the line from secular to sacred, from football to gospel, and, you know, we have to take those initiatives to try and share the gospel with our Jewish friends. And in our surveys, we've discovered that more than 80% of the Jewish people who accept Jesus do so through the witness of a Gentile Christian friend or sometimes a spouse. In Romans 10:13 through 15, Paul also adds this, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Bottom line, dear brothers and sisters, is the preacher is you. So I hope you have beautiful feet, as Isaiah predicted. How will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so I hope your feet are beautiful. Now we're going to list a few challenges to Jewish evangelism. And Bobby, fill in some details as we go through this. First of all, the truth is most Jewish people are non-religious or secular. Of the 6.4 million Jewish people, perhaps, in the United States, I would say the majority are secular. What do you think, Bobby?
Yeah, I think that definitely is accurate. But like you said also, the Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox religious segment of the Jewish world is by far the fastest growing segment, and it's most likely because of the birth rate. You know, those families, they average like 7 kids per household. So it's definitely a big part of the future of Jewish ministry, I would say.
And let me tell you, they have mastered the hand-me-down, you know?
Yes, they have.
You know, and sometimes a lot of them are dressed the same way, and it's just, they're just such beautiful kids. Yeah. I love seeing those families. I love big families. So most Jewish people are non-religious or secular. Secondly, most Jewish people have not read the Bible. Mm-hmm. They may have had a bar mitzvah where they studied the Hebrew Bible and they learned their part because you read from the 5 books of Moses, the Torah, at your bar mitzvah. That's 13 when a young man becomes a man. And there's also a bat mitzvah. Bar means son, bat means daughter. And mitzvah means commandments. So you become either a son of the commandments or a daughter of the commandments. And the Orthodox do not have bat mitzvahs, but the conservative and reform Jewish movements usually have bat mitzvahs. And so maybe you've gone to a bar or a bat mitzvah. What a fun occasion. And it's just great to see these young people read from the Bible. But I guarantee you that for most of them, that's about all they're going to read from the Bible.
Yeah.
And so there's a low level of biblical knowledge. And of course, you have to understand that we're only talking about what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, because Jewish people do not read the New Testament. So has that been true in your experience, Bobby? And how does that impact the way you share the gospel with Jewish people?
Yeah, it's definitely true. And the way it's impacted how I've shared is, a lot of times it means that we have to start with some of the bigger questions that most secular humanistic kind of people, whether Jewish or Gentile, would have, like dealing with the existence of God or the problem of evil and how does it jive with the biblical, understanding and the biblical worldview. So that has definitely been a factor. And I think one other added piece of information that might surprise our audience is many of the Orthodox Jewish people, many within the Orthodox Jewish community, don't read the Bible all that much either. They'll focus on the first five books of Moses. But if you start mentioning Isaiah or Daniel or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, there might be some familiarity, but they're not spending much time at all reading the prophets and the writings.
It's interesting, Bobby. I once was sharing the gospel with an ultra-Orthodox Jewish guy at the Brooklyn College campus. And he said, I really love these conversations because I never get to read or study the prophets unless I talk with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that it's less inspired. It's just not as inspired, That's kind of the way it's explained. Now, we also understand that many Jewish people are intermarried.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Jewish people intermarry, over 50% in the United States. And so when it comes time to raise children and so on, there are real questions about how to raise the kids, how to communicate values, whether or not they're going to go to church or synagogue, whether or not they're going to be confirmed or bar mitzvahed or bat mitzvahed. So there's a lot of discussion among intermarried families. And so if you know an intermarried family, I mean, I've often presented believing in Jesus as a Jewish-Gentile marriage to be the solution to a lot of these challenges, mm-hmm. because that way you get the best of both worlds. At least that's the way I pitch it. And sometimes people say, that I'd like to see how that works. And they come to a Messianic congregation or to one of our events and so on. So the intermarriage gate is a very wide gate for a witness. Is that what mm-hmm. you found, Bobby?
Yeah, I would agree. And like you said, this is where a healthy Messianic congregation can really serve the couple or the family that is grappling with some of these issues. Because like you said, Mitch, a healthy Messianic congregation will be able to provide the best of both worlds. Obviously, a focus on worshiping Jesus and worshiping the Messiah Jesus and having him at the center of everything that's celebrated, but also, incorporating some practices that might be viewed as quote-unquote Jewish, like celebrating the Passover or Hanukkah or Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, or having a bar or bat mitzvah available for the children, or emphasizing the importance of Israel in God's plan, or tours to Israel, or camps. This has been a big way that our ministry has been able to minister to couples, intermarried couples. It's through our children's camps. We have Camp Kesher on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and we get quite a few kids who come from those situations. And again, it's a way to provide a solid biblical foundation of Jesus, but also some Jewish culture and tradition as well.
Sometimes the Gentile member of the intermarried family was raised in an evangelical Christian home, and they might have gone a little wayward and ended up marrying a Jewish person and then sort of come back to faith.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon I'm going to be having dinner with one of those couples where the guy's Jewish and the woman married him when she was not quite walking with the Lord. Then she came back to walk with the Lord, and now she brings her husband to church every Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to this dinner to be able to hopefully help him connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
to see how you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
So lots of opportunities with intermarried couples. Then the other thing that you should know is that most Jewish people actually don't attend synagogue regularly. A synagogue is not like church. The Jewish people go to synagogue sporadically. They often go on the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, New Year, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Passover, Hanukkah, these are well celebrated, but those are really home holidays.
Right.
And it's not really going to synagogue. So you can go to synagogue. Most Jewish temples or synagogues have services on Friday night and Saturday morning. And they're different types of services. But a religious Jewish person would grow up going Friday night and Saturday morning, and that's the way their family would operate. And the bulk of Jewish people just don't go regularly to a synagogue. And they don't have a relationship with a rabbi as a spiritual leader
right.
most of the time. And so I would say that a lot of Jewish people are sort of floating in a sea of religious possibilities, but without any kind of a stable anchor, because they just don't go to synagogue.
Yeah.
Actually, it's very hard for Jewish people who get saved to then find out they should go to church every Sunday, because they're not used to that lifestyle, you know. But I think that speaking informally with Jewish people is the most important thing about what's happening in your life, how Jesus is personal to you. Jewish people are mostly not involved in what I would call institutional religion, going to a synagogue. And they're more involved in Jewish causes sometimes, but not necessarily going to synagogue. And so if you present the gospel to a Jewish person and want them to go to something, invite them to a home Bible study. Invite them to an event in or outside of your church. Invite them to more of a social occasion where believers gather. And don't always feel that you have to invite them to church, although it's okay if they want to come, that would be fine. But they're not used to going to synagogue, so they're definitely not going to be used to going to church. And so keep Jesus personal. And most Jewish people are not looking for another religious tradition. Most Jewish people are looking for an intimate personal relationship with God. That's what satisfies the Jewish soul, and of course the Gentile soul as well. It's just that Jewish people are probably a bit turned off, for the most part, to more formal institutional types of religious expressions. Think so,
yeah.
Bobby?
Yeah, I've seen that as well, time and time again. In fact, when I was a new believer, I was living down in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I met the rabbi of, he called it the synagogue for the unaffiliated. And they had no building. They would just get together like two or three times a year for services, for high holidays, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then they would just rent like, you know, ballroom space at a hotel or something. And that was it. It met the need for so many Jewish people down there. I mean, he had over 100 people who would come out for these events. And it was so interesting. But like you said, Mitch, it's very telling as well about where a lot of Jewish people, especially in America, are coming from. And it just amplifies the need for a personal relationship with the Messiah. That's where the depth is going to come from.
That's what people are looking for.
Yeah.
So God bless you. Shalom. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
New York City is home to an estimated 1.6 million Jewish people, and many of them do not know who the Messiah is. Right now, Jewish people are facing an increasing amount of anti-Semitism and hatred. Anti-Semitic acts have grown all too common in our cities and schools. Many do not feel safe. And they are now more open to hearing about God. Amid all the hatred, the love of Yeshua, Jesus, shines brighter. At Chosen People Ministries, we gather believers from all over the country every summer to proclaim the good news of Jesus the Messiah to Jewish people all around the city. We engage in street outreach and follow-up and invite volunteers to learn more about Jewish culture with us. As believers, let us express our love for the God of Israel and our solidarity with the Jewish community. Please join us in New York City this summer to proclaim the true hope, peace, and salvation we have in our Messiah. Sign up today for Shalom New York.
We're in New York City, Bryant Park. Our motto today is never again and never alone. just encouraging Jewish people that as believers in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, that we appreciate the Jewish people and we want to share our concern and love for them. And there is a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of unsettledness of both American Jewish people, and we're meeting a lot of Israelis as well. And it's just amazing the fear and the concern they have, and we can just provide encouragement to them. Well, we want to say that we as followers of him stand in solidarity with the Jewish people, that we don't want them to feel alone, that they feel supported, and because so many are being persecuted in so many ways, and we just want to encourage them and share with them, and when we can, pray with them and share the gospel with them. There's so many people that are indifferent or just don't know what's going on. And so we're just hoping to raise awareness of the some of the attitudes that are being directed towards Jewish people, even if they're not involved with Israel as a nation or the war, anything like that. We just want them to be reassured and encouraged that there are Christians, there are followers of Jesus that love them and support them and don't want them to be mistreated by others just because of their national identity or their religious identity. So I hope some of the seeds we planted this week will grow into fruit that you know, could be seen later. And so we're just hoping and praying for that. I'm hoping that I can take some of the stories back to my church in California. And there's a lot of people that have a heart for the Jewish people, and hopefully we can build on that. Maybe bring a bigger team next year and have more people interested in similar outreaches in the future.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we want you to know that your faithful partnership with this ministry is enabling us to introduce Jewish people to the Messiah each and every day. And you can help us by letting us know that you're praying for this ministry. To connect online, just go to chosenpeople.com/radio. And while you're there, be sure to request your free gift.
Well, Bobby, if any of our listeners are a bit confused or trying to understand what's happening in Israel today, I don't blame you, dear friend, because I'm trying to figure it out as well. But one thing I know for sure, that whatever is happening is in one way or another the fulfillment of prophecy. And so you want to get Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future. This short but concise guide will help walk you through Israel's history, beginning with God's covenant with Abraham, all the way to the new heavens and new earth. That's found in the book of Revelation. It's a must-have reading guide for anyone who has a heart for the Jewish people. So request your free copy today at chosenpeople.com/radio.
You can also ask for Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future, by calling us at 888-2-YESHUA. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. Once again, that number is 888-293-7482. And now, let's wrap up today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom, v'yasem lecha shalom, v'yasem lecha shalom, v'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'Shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.